Welcome to The Trending Show. This is episode 100 of the show where we tell you what's been trending on the internet and why. This week, we're going to talk about what's been trending the week of April 1st all the way through April 7th. I'm Natalie Morris. He's Mike Quackenbush, and we are celebrating 100 episodes of The Trending Show. Woohoo!
How are you celebrating, Natalie? Tell me.
I'm dancing a jig right here. Can you hear my feet going around really fast?
We'll have to upgrade our microphones for episode 101.
Right. How are you celebrating?
I asked for extra whipped cream on my grande cinnamon dolce latte.
Oh, I got a latte here, too. Let's have a virtual cheers over our Skype call. Ching!
Oh, I just got... I spilled it all over the keyboard.
Oh, okay. Well, we want to thank our listeners for sticking with us for 100 episodes. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yes, I only want to thank the people that have listened to all 100 episodes.
Joining us. You're a fair weather friend. You don't get any thank you.
I wasn't even on like the first half of these, so.
That's true. But it's, I mean, I've been the constant. Well, no, you filled in for me for a while. It's been kind of a shuffling of hosts, but still always the same fun formula.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. It never changes.
Well, sometimes we have some changes. We've got new segment. Will we have one of those today, or should I not ask?
No. Oh, yeah. I never want you to be ready for it. I want to catch you off guard.
Okay. Well, I give you homework to look at things that have been trending on the internet so that we can talk about them maybe a bit more intelligently. Let's start with Monday, April 1st, some things that trended in Google search terms. Pizza. Just that term trended on Monday because Pizza Hut announced a new type of pizza they're calling Crazy Cheesy Crust. I think you have to say it like that. It looks like a regular pizza with sort of flower petal-shaped pockets of cheese that protrude out of the peripheral of the pie. Am I doing a good job of describing this?
That's an excellent description.
There's 16 of them, to be exact, and you're meant to pull it off and eat it separately, which I have many questions about this, because if you pull off the crust, then you're left with just kind of the saggy end. Where are you supposed to hold on to when you eat the rest of the pizza? It looks pretty stupid. If you ask me, no one did, but I'm going to put it out there that I think it's stupid. What do you think?
You know, cheese is my kryptonite.
Yes, I do know this.
The idea that they're making this, to me, it's like a personal affront.
Right. This is not their first experimentation with putting more cheese on the pizza. They've done it where they sort of tucked it into the crust itself before, so that you were sort of eating a cheese stick when you ate the crust. So I guess, you know, this is the same concept. It's just a different shape.
Yeah, I would guess at some past point in the history of pizza, and I don't know when pizza was invented, but I'm guessing somewhere previously somebody was like, you think we could get more cheese on this?
I don't think so. I've had pizza where pizza was invented in Naples, and this is not anything like that at all.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to say that, you know, like the innovators of pizza are the ones behind this. I'm saying somewhere somebody, I'm sure, in the pizza, you know, the worldwide pizza industry was like, we're going to come up with a cheesier pizza. I don't think this is the first stab at this. It's certainly one of the more interesting ones. Like, I looked at it, I was like, what's up with this pizza? I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. Well, what if we filled it with something else, like pastry or, I don't know, like, I don't know.
Pizza does have dessert pizzas, right?
There is such a thing as Nutella pizza or whatever.
No. This, I can recall maybe in my high school days being at a Pizza Hut that had like a lunchtime buffet. And, you know, they had all these different pizzas with various toppings on it that you could pick from. And at the end of the bar, there was like a, what they called a dessert pizza. Not a true pizza, but it was shaped like a pizza. And it was like a cherry pastry that was made to look, you know, like the cherry filling was meant to look like the tomato sauce. And there was like a vanilla frosting made to look like the mozzarella. And it was arranged to look like a piece of pizza, but it was a dessert.
Right, but if it's not hot, then the purpose of using the crust to hold on to when you eat it is sort of lost on the whole experience. So if you're eating like a cold pastry type pizza, that's fine. Then you can pull off at various ends. But the point of eating a hot pizza, the crust is there to hold on to so that you can eat it. So if the crust is then pulled off, I mean, okay, people eat it differently. My son likes to eat the crust first, but then he cuts the rest into little pieces and eats them sort of finger food-like. But that aside... If you take the crust off and you're just, it's a very untraditional way of thinking of things. You know, I'm not a purist when it comes to pizza, but I still think that this is very stupid.
I can't believe that we've spent this much time talking about pizza. I agree with your assessment It's dumb. I'll never, ever have one of these.
Me neither. Okay, let's talk about Corey Monteith. I think that's how you say his last name. He trended also on Monday, April 1st. He's one of the main stars of Glee. Now, I didn't know this about him. He's 30 years old. He plays Finn. And they're high school seniors, or maybe just graduated now. They're going into college. I'm not sure. But he plays the main character, Finn. So I didn't realize he was quite so much older than his character is. Kind of like the 90210 clan, who was playing much younger characters. But anyway, he checked himself into rehab this week to cure himself of substance abuse. He has been written out of the last two episodes of the show, you'll be sorry to hear.
Oh, the show is being canceled, is it?
No, he's being written out of the last two episodes of the show.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If they're the last two episodes of the show, then the show
is
canceled. Oh,
of the season. Of the season.
I see.
Yeah. No, I believe they do plan to come back.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. I mean, that's a huge moneymaker. And, you know, they drive tremendous sales on iTunes and... I can't imagine that they're not going to milk that beast for everything it's worth.
Yeah, no kidding.
Finn will be 50 and he'll still somehow be a senior in high school because it makes money.
It's true. I watched the first season and a half of Glee and then I was like, this is just a big old iTunes commercial. I'm over it. And they would burst into song that had nothing to do with the plot line. They just felt like singing Janet Jackson. And you know, I oftentimes feel like singing Janet Jackson, but I do need a plot with my sitcoms. I wouldn't call it a sitcom. It's not a sitcom. What is it? Drama? TV drama?
I think of it as a musical, actually, if I was going to put it in any particular genre. I mean, it's sort of like a teen angsty soap opera, but it's really like an excuse to have a musical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just sort of weave in ways to sing certain songs, to have them sing certain songs. It's a very egotistical show. Okay, let's talk about Emma Watson. She trended on Tuesday, April 2nd. Do you know who she is? She's one of the main stars of the Harry Potter movies. She played Hermione.
Well, this is because you sent me some homework to do.
Oh, right. I did send you this.
I am abreast of the situation. Now, as you know, I'm not a big Twilight fan.
If you make that mistake one more time, I'm going to punch the microphone, hoping that the frequency comes and punches you through the chin, through your microphone.
The frequency, huh?
Harry Potter and... Twilight shall never be used in the same sentence again on my podcast.
You do know that in all seriousness, they are talking about merging them in a comic book. And those two universes are going to come together.
No.
They are trying to resolve the rights issues between the people that own them.
It's not true.
And it's going to be written by, if you can believe this, the 50 Shades of Grey person.
No. Okay, now I know you're making this up. You must be making this up, right?
All right. So tell me about Emma Watson.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that anymore. So anyway, she's trying to break herself of the child actor reputation by acting very adult. She's now 22 years old, and she's on the newest cover of GQ, the UK version, in a very adult outfit. It's much like the one that Julia Roberts wore in her role as a prostitute in the hit film Pretty Woman from the 90s. So in this interview in GQ, Emma Watson talks about trying not to be typecast as an actress, either as a child actress or as a period piece British actress, because you know that those British actresses, she doesn't specifically refer to Keira Knightley, but Keira Knightley can never have another role in which she doesn't wear a corset, and she says she doesn't want to do that.
I think that's in her. That might be one of her crazy like rider stipulations. You know how Britney Spears wants to have the red M&Ms in her dressing room. Keira Knightley's like, if I'm doing the movie, I'm gonna need a corset.
I gotta have a corset and a big curly wig. Yeah,
but so, she pulls it off. You know what I mean?
Does.
She seems custom made for those scenes, does she?
Well, who else is gonna do it? You know.
Right.
Someone's got to. It pays well.
Dame Judi Dench.
Just do it and shut up. I mean, and Emma Watson, you know, she may want those roles someday, but she says if she does them now, then she'll never get out of the corset.
All right.
So now she's wearing the Pretty Woman prostitute outfit.
Good thinking there.
I guess. You go a completely different direction. Okay, Mike Rice, he was the head coach of the Rutgers basketball team. He's been trending all week, starting on Tuesday, because he was fired after a video was posted of him being basically a big dickhead to his players. He yells at them, he kicks them, he calls them racial slurs.
He kicks them.
Yeah. The university said they already tried to give him another chance, but once the video went viral, then they had to fire him. And the faculty and the alumni is very pissed off that it took them so long to fire this guy, because the university did admit that they saw the video 6 months ago and told him, you better clean it up. They didn't do anything about it until it became public. And they're like, oh, yeah, we had been planning to do something about this all along. So did you see this video at all?
No, no. I thought maybe what you were going to be talking about, and forgive me for not knowing the names of many professional athletes, but there was a really grisly injury that centered around a basketball player recently, and there was controversy about like his team somehow profiteering off of his injury.
Right, and that's one of the teams that is still playing in the Final Four. That game is this weekend. No, this is a different team. Also was involved in the NCAA tournament, but that guy, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was a player in Louisville.
NCAA is college basketball, right?
Yeah. NCAA is college anything, but most of the time it refers to the basketball tournament.
Dear basketball, here's just a thought going ahead. Don't run against WrestleMania.
Right.
I'm just throwing that out there. So, no, I've not seen the video of this guy, although I don't know, like, who ratted him out? Like, which basketball guy was like, oh, he kicked me right in the shin?
Well, it's an old video, though. It happened several months ago, so I don't know who leaked it. But maybe because nothing had happened to him and this was just kind of his standard way of coaching, I think it's highly inappropriate. If I saw a video of someone throwing a basketball at my son's head and then calling him, you know, words that begin with F and kicking him and,
like,
you know,
friend.
That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, different type of friend, closer friends. Then I would really be upset about it. I probably would go and throw basketballs at his face. So I would want some retribution. I don't think that you can inspire people to do anything better with this kind of behavior. I don't know. You coach people. Have you ever been just so terrible that you kicked someone and then bit them and called them?
Well, I've never bit anyone. I mean, not intentionally, maybe by accident or something like that, you know. Certainly not biting. That to me seems like that's over the line. But you have to understand, in my line of work, kicking and punching people is completely acceptable. I teach people how to punch and kick. So yes, I punch and kick people quite a bit. I want to be forthright about that. I want to throw this out there about a video that's going around, and I'm sure if you Google, this is the very first thing, and this is something I'm sure that touches Natalie in the same way that it touched me. And I was actually reached out to by a member of the family. Did you hear about, and this broke, I want to say maybe end of last week, beginning of this week, about the baby who survived shaken baby syndrome, who in the news is being called Baby Abe?
No, I don't know anything about Baby Abe.
Okay. Baby Abe, it was covered by the local news, it was covered by tons of news outlets, suffered shaken baby syndrome, which is very, very serious, at the hands of a negligent babysitter. And there are a number of fundraising efforts being done to try and raise money, because while the baby has survived, there will be lifelong complications as a result of this abuse that this poor child suffered. And I'm sure if you were interested to get involved in the fundraising or to make a contribution of your own, if you Googled up, you know, Baby Abe, shaken baby syndrome, something like that, it'd probably be the very first thing that comes up. It's a very horrifying story because, you know, as I said, in my line of work, punching and kicking is entirely acceptable. If I were to kick a fellow professional wrestler, I doubt that there'd be a viral video about it and I'd be derided for it. And I think the basketball guys could, you know, suck it up, take a kick in the shin every once and again and, you know, grow some thicker skin for themselves. But a defenseless baby is another matter altogether. And
yeah.
Certainly the family is in a time of need. So if that sort of thing strikes a chord with you, why don't you Google it up and see what you do. Beware, though. Those videos, they're tear-jerking videos those news people put out.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, you know, I don't. Either way, these are people's children, and a college kid still doesn't deserve to be berated this way any more than a baby does. I would put that forth. You know, I mean, maybe the baby's slightly less defenseless, and can't just walk out of the room. But I do think making an example of this kind of coaching is important. So. Okay, let's move on to something more positive. Before we talk about Finding Dory, can you tell our listeners about our show's sponsor, Cobra?
I would love to tell you about Cobra.com, and now is a great time to go over and check out their website, and I'm going to tell you why. Not only is it because that the podcast we make here at the Grizzly Productions Network stay free week in and week out. We give you this content, and we don't ask you for a single thin dime, my friends. And that's all possible because we have great long-standing sponsors and friends of ours like we do at Cobra Electronics. If you go over to Cobra right now, and this is no doubt because I've heard the rumor that the new Cobra iRadar 2 system is coming, you can save big time on the Cobra iRadar, the original, the award-winning, the industry leader in radar, red light, and laser detection. And part of the reason why it is so heralded is because it's backed by the ARRA Driving Hazard Database, which is a database of information relating to speed traps and other driving hazards out there that gets verified and then re-verified twice every single day for maximum accuracy. And this system over at Cobra.com right now has been slashed in price. So don't miss out. Make sure you check out the special section on their left-hand navigation where tons of other great deals, especially some wonderful gift-giving ideas, await you. You'll be glad you did, and so will Natalie and I. We can't continue to make this show without Cobra.com, and they don't like us unless you go see them.
That's right. Please do. Okay, let's do talk about Finding Dory now. That trended on Wednesday, April 3rd, when Pixar announced that they are going to release the Finding Nemo sequel called Finding Dory. It will be a full theatrical release, not just the straight-to-video ones that sometimes they do. So this is the follow-up to the 2003 hit, due out in 2015. It will, of course, star Ellen DeGeneres returning in the role of Dory. She's the lovable but forgettable blue tangfish.
Well, she's forgetful.
Forgetful. Did I say forgettable?
Yes.
That's not what I meant. She's forgetful, not forgettable. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's so rememberable that people wanted a whole feature film with her. She was very good in that role. She seems very excited about this, and other people do too. Although online it was kind of a funny reaction where people are like, we don't want that. We just want Nemo back with her as a side character. But no, she gets the lead role. She's the protagonist now.
Hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that does, although pretty much everything Pixar does is top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I wager it'll be fun. I think they don't even have much about the script out yet. They don't have a plot, but, you know, when you find Dory in the beginning of the Nemo films, she's kind of roaming about by herself. She seems already lost. So I think this is going to explain why she was about and lost, and maybe it'll bring back the turtles. I don't know. The kids are excited about it.
Although certainly I've lost a lot of sleep wondering about the origins of Dory.
Surely, surely. And you're going to get answers.
Thank goodness.
You'll get your answers. Okay, LucasArts trended on Wednesday, April 3rd. Disney is closing down the branch of Lucas called LucasArts. This is the video game division of Lucasfilm. The company will sell off the games that they currently own, and then they will have to, unfortunately, have some layoffs. Disney can, of course, do this because they bought Lucasfilm back in October for $4 billion.
Mm-hmm. Very scary, the power they wield.
Yeah, I wonder how well those games were doing anyway. I had a friend who used to work there, and he was the sound tester on all the Star Wars games. He was an audio guy, and he seemed to really like his job, but he has since gone to Zynga.
Oh.
So, my friend has. But yes, it's you know, I think it was a really great place to work. They worked down in the Presidio in San Francisco. It's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful area of the city, and so it'll be interesting to see if they just then beef up Lucasfilms instead, or if that's just sort of their, I don't know, pruning the tree.
All right.
Okay, Daddy Yankee, this rapper is not gay. Are you surprised to hear that? That's the news. He's not gay.
All right. I'm learning a lot today.
Yes. Well, there were rumors that he was gay when a photo of a man and who looked like Daddy Yankee was surfaced, and this man was kissing another man. Well, the rapper and his publicist insist this is not him, he's not gay, and most of his fans have taken a closer look at the photo and agreed that, in fact, this is not him.
I see. That would probably be very detrimental to his career, as I would guess, and forgive me for stereotyping a bit, but I would think that that community might be slightly more intolerant of those things.
Well, right, we talked about a rapper, oh gosh, I can't remember his name, I want to say like 20 or 30 episodes ago that, you know, came out. That was he a rapper, though? Yeah, I think he was a rapper And in his raps, he raps about other men. And his lusting for them.
Yes.
And that was, you know, big news in the fact that simple fact that he did that. So I have no idea what Daddy Yankee sings, if we can even use the word sing.
Right. Yeah, that may not be appropriate.
But anyway, the point is that he's not gay.
Okay.
Okay. So Jay Leno, he trended when NBC announced that he is going to leave The Tonight Show and hand over the reins to Jimmy Fallon. Now, this was rumored all week, and it finally, you know, came to a head on Thursday when they said, yes, Fallon will be taking over the show. It will move back to New York. This transition is not for another year, though. Spring of 2015. I don't know why they do this. Why give us such a long lead time? Like Oprah gave us a year and a half or something to announce her retirement. I think it's so silly. Like, most people give 2 weeks notice. That's it. But if you're famous, you have to give 2 years.
I guess. Get off the stage, Jay Leno.
Time. It's time. It's been something like, how many years? 20-something? It's been a long time. So
Way too many.
And it's been the last... He did not go out on top, I want to say. He didn't go out like... in a glorified moment, you know, because he took the show back from Conan. It was ugly. And now, you know, he's going to have to, I would say he's losing it. I don't know. People say it's kind of a mutual agreement. I think NBC's given him the boot.
Mm.
What do you think?
I think they made a terrible mistake bringing him back in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I think. Okay, and Great Gatsby, that trended on Thursday, April 4th, when a new trailer for the upcoming film was released this week. The film is directed by Baz Luhrmann. It's due out May 10th. It's very fantastical. It's getting special attention because it juxtaposes old-world debutante life with very modern music from Beyoncé, Andre 3000, Lana Del Rey, and Florence and the Machine. So, what did you think of this? I told you to watch it.
Indeed you did. This is not the first trailer I've seen for The Great Gatsby. The Great Gatsby, of course, is a novel that many of us, I'm sure, were supposed to have read in high school. Mm-hmm. And I can vaguely remember what the cover of it looks like. That's not the first adaptation of something along those lines. I think about Atlas Shrugged, which was another novel. That's an Ayn Rand piece that I was meant to read during high school during a literature class, which I didn't read either. And as you may know, are you aware of this, that there is a trilogy of movies about Atlas Shrugged?
No.
An adaptation. Right. I don't think the world at large is. Atlas Shrugged Part 1 went into theaters in 2011. Then, at the end of last year, Part 2 hit theaters. And the third installment of this scintillating trilogy comes to theaters in July of next year. And I have to kind of wonder, like, I couldn't make it through the foreword. That's how boring this book was. And you've made three major motion pictures out of it?
Mm.
That's astonishing to me. Now... So when I heard they were making The Great Gatsby into a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, my first thought was they must really be hoping that people love Leonardo DiCaprio, because if I wanted that, like The Catcher in the Rye or anything, wouldn't I read the great American novel itself? Having said all that, the movie does look interesting. Like the trailer got me excited to want to know more about The Great Gatsby, which never before in my life has the phrase "I want to know more about The Great Gatsby" ever escape my lips, maybe apart from the time when Mrs. Cambardella put the quiz about it on my desk.
Mm. So you don't remember it then? I only remember that it was in the Hamptons and they drank a lot of martinis, that they were, you know, we're going to go here, and they drank a lot in that film, or in the in the book. And I remember there was angst over, you know, a lover who was somebody else's lover, but I don't remember the plot. I did read it when I was 16. You know, he's such a fantastical character. He's so eccentric, but also egregiously wealthy and dripping with luxuries that people, you know, are crazy. It's very, so I think it suits, it's a good time, I guess, in a historical context to talk about this kind of luxury and, you know, fat cat living.
Mm.
It looks fun. And who else to play it but, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio? He can really do emotion and grandiosity. Is that a word?
I don't know. He can do that well. It is now.
It can be. You know what I meant.
It just entered the popular lexicon.
It's, yes.
Grandiosity. I don't know. I kind of wonder, you know, I think a lot of those were sort of meant as like escapist pieces for poor immigrants from a bygone era. And if not for the fact that it does appear so lavish, you know, the trailer for it is just... over the top.
Right.
Although it seems like, as I'm watching it, in terms of the way that it was shot and the way, like, some of the way the colors appear to be muted, I was thinking about the movie Watchmen. And I was like, wow, what a strange thing for this to evoke. But I don't know. Maybe there's, you know, some of the same cinematographers are working on this that worked on that. But I don't know.
Yeah. They've got a lot of sort of phony looking backgrounds that it looks like they're not even really attempting to make it look like they're shooting on location. They want you to know that it's fantasy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, speaking of fantasy, let's talk about Chelsea Handler. A video went viral of her engaging in a fight with fellow comedian Conan O'Brien, has them fighting it out over late night TV, naked in a shower. So they're sort of sparring territorially. It's a little crude, mostly it's just odd. I don't know if anyone was like, wow, that's awesome. That was so funny. I don't know. What do you think? I made you watch that too.
Right. I like Conan O'Brien, and I don't object to Chelsea. So I thought it was fine, but I'll never need to watch it again. YouTube did make me log in, though, and verify my age so that I could watch it.
Oh, it yeah, I said that restricted. They were naked, but their private parts were blurred out. But it looks like they really did shoot that naked, so they had to at least look at each other like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've both done odder things than that in their careers.
Surely. All right, before we move on to some hashtags, do you want to surprise me with any new segments, or should I just keep going?
No, that's not a surprise then, is it?
If I ask for the surprise, I can pretend to be surprised.
Oh, that defeats the surprise.
All right, fine, but I've got three hashtags to go before you surprise me, so I'll go and then maybe you'll go. I don't know. It'll be a surprise. Hashtag why don't they make that has been trending this week, has users wondering why certain inventions do not come to market. Examples include an iPhone with Morgan Freeman's voice instead of Siri. I'm glad to see you, Mr. Wayne, kind of thing. Was that good? That wasn't very good.
I'm not going to attempt to do a Morgan Freeman impersonation. It'll just sound like he's always narrating a PBS special.
Can you do a Lucius Fox?
No.
Kind of, no. Well, Mr. Wayne, if you don't ask, then I don't know anything about it. That was terrible.
That'll have to do. That'll have to do.
How about this? Why don't they make a pillow that records your dreams so you can watch them in the morning?
Oh.
Or a fridge that automatically refills itself with food.
Those are wonderful inventions. Who came up with those? To whom should we start sending our checks?
These are tweets. So these are wondering why they don't make these things. Why don't these things exist? I feel like that sometimes, like, why doesn't this exist, like a non-plastic Keurig machine? But, you know, I'm not going to bring that to market.
You're not going to bring it to market? Why not?
No, because I don't care that much about it. I just wish it existed, but I don't care enough to make it. You know, my husband zip-up things, like, why don't these perfect zip-ups exist? He could tweet on that. He thinks that, you know, all zip-ups are imperfect. He cares enough to try to make them. I don't care that much about a non-plastic Keurig machine. I do care about a non-plastic baby food maker. Maybe I'll make one of those someday. So you can tweet me if you want to know why I hate plastic so much, but we won't talk about it. Hashtag best lie ever. This trend has users expressing common lies that they think they can get away with. Examples include, of course I read the terms and conditions. Or
that is a fine example.
Right. I don't know if that's the best lie ever, but it's a very common lie. No, I never saw your text. I do use that a lot sometimes. When I see a text late at night and I don't want to respond, and like, oh, I didn't see that one because I don't have the energy to start it, you know, pick up a conversation where it left off. Or how about this one? You've lost weight. It's not really a lie. It's just, well, I guess it's a lie.
You know, I don't know the exact title of his song, but on his sophomore effort, Jason Mraz has a funny song about, did you get my message? And about where the messages go that don't get delivered. I liked it a lot. And I don't believe people's lies like that. Like, I didn't get that voicemail, bro.
Do you call them out on it and say, yes, you did?
Yeah, I'm kind of at that point now where I'm really saucy about those kinds of things. You know, like, hey, you know, I sent you an email and you didn't respond. And then I texted you and they're like, really? And I'm like, get it out. Get your phone out right now. Let's go. You know, so yeah. I don't
see, that's a message there and it's red. So you're a liar.
Yep. Now I've got a message for you. Rather, a question. Can you tell me which of these two things really is trending right now on Twitter? I'm going to call this news segment.
Okay.
Now get ready here. This is going to test you a little bit. These are two overly long hashtags, and one of them is real, one of them's not. All right, here they are. This first one is hashtag, thanks for funding Veronica Mars movie. And the other one is hashtag, thanks Dan Warp Glozell on Sam and Cat.
Well, I didn't even understand that. What was the second one?
Thanks Dan Warp Glozell on Sam and Cat.
I'm going to go with the Veronica Mars one because I don't understand it.
Right. Now, do you know what happened with Veronica Mars?
Yeah, we talked about it. She had a Kickstarter movie.
That's right. They wrote a feature film about this cult following for the TV series, and they got the funding that they wanted via Kickstarter in less than 10 hours. And then people were so, you know, because we vote with our dollars, they kept sending the money, and they far exceeded the budget that they need. The movie will actually go into production later this year, and it'll be delivered next year. But that never trended. However, the bizarre Thanks Dan Warp Glozell on Sam and Cat did. Now, Sam and Cat is a proposed Nickelodeon show. It's a spinoff of the once popular iCarly series. You ever watch iCarly?
I know what it is.
Right, you were on it. So this is thanking Dan Schneider.
I tried out.
And they're like, yeah, you don't look like Carly.
You're 30.
And Glozell Green.
You can't be in high school.
No, that doesn't stop them. That does not stop them. People are so thrilled that this iCarly spinoff is actually picking up some traction. It's one of the top trending topics right now on Twitter. In fact, since we started recording earlier, over 215 additional tweets using that overly long hashtag have been sent. People are delighted. They're sending a lot of it toward Glozell Green. Are you familiar with her work, Glozell?
No. I'm too busy listening to Daddy Yankee.
She's the self-proclaimed queen of YouTube, among other things. Yeah, she got about 500,000 followers on YouTube, on Twitter, rather.
So, you know, I was having some meetings about a show that I'm trying to launch on YouTube, and apparently one of the biggest things on YouTube, the most popular videos, are videos that they call shopping haul videos. Have you heard of this?
I don't know what that is.
A shopping haul means you go out and you go shopping and you buy a bunch of stuff. And then you come down, come back, and you sit yourself in front of your webcam. And you talk to the webcam and say, here's what I got while I was out shopping. These shoes were on sale for 20% off. This belt here, I'm going to wear this with some high-waisted jeans. And maybe I'll wear it, you know, by itself. I don't know. And then I also got this lotion that I'm going to use for my eczema. And then I've also got this makeup, this mascara that I really like. So people just pull stuff out of their bags and show what they got, whether on sale or not. And other people like to watch what other people
whether
score.
It was on sale or not is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
This is what I got for my eczema.
Things. So, you know, a friend of mine told me about this and I was like, I got to watch this. I was bored to tears, but I found this girl who does this quite often and then she models the things that she buys and hundreds of thousands of views. The teens love this.
Mm.
It's crazy town, right?
You know, every
Why
day
are you
I
spending
creep,
your time
I
like
creep
this?
A little further away from my halcyon teenage days.
Right. I mean, I just went out shopping to Trader Joe's and I can show you my organically brined chicken if you'd like.
Mm.
But I don't know. Maybe some people would really enjoy that. I got some broccoli florets. I got some bulgur wheat.
I don't even know what these things are. That was Greek coming out of your mouth right there.
It's whole foods. It's really healthy food, unlike a pizza crazy, cheesy, floral, whatever. Okay, let's talk about the last hashtag I pulled out for us today. Hashtag beasting out. Do you know what it means when you're beasting out? This took some digging. I had to look it up.
Beasting out? No, I do not.
When you're beasting out, according to Urban Dictionary, either you become really good at something or you become ferocious and belligerent and willing to engage in acts of violence or disrespect. I'm beasting out on you. Like if you're having a fight with your spouse, you're beasting out. You're becoming a beast. So this was trending on Thursday. People were proclaiming to be beasting out at things like training for marathons. Like, I'm beasting out on that training session. I'm doing it like a beast.
All right.
Kissing boys. I don't know that boys like to be kissed like
beasting
beasts.
Out?
Yeah, like you're, I guess you're getting
seems
really
like a mugging.
Good at, right. Sounds dangerous.
Rather,
or
some crazed
breaking.
Woman running up. Just oh, she's beasting out.
Or a lot of it was in reference to spring break. Like I'm at spring break and I'm beasting out. I'm going crazy. I'm at the beach playing volleyball in a bikini. I'm beasting out.
Yeah.
I
will try really hard to use that in casual conversation.
Do it this weekend at WrestleMania.
Days. I'll try really hard.
I'm going to get in that ring and I'm going to beasting out. Yeah, I don't think you can say beast out because it doesn't count. You have to. I'm going to go beasting out like I did at Trader Joe's. I was buying my organic chicken and I'm beasting out here in the grocery
organic
store.
Chicken. Right.
Okay, well, we've been beasting out on the trending show all day, finishing up episode 100. Also, I want to apologize to anyone who expected the episode late last week. You might be able to tell I have a cold. I had no voice last week. I had a pretty ugly cold hit me straight upside the head. So we're back. We will be back next week with episode 101. And good luck to you, sir, this weekend at WrestleFest, WrestleMania Fest.
Right. Well,
what
I'll be
it?
At WrestleCon. I would love to be at WrestleFest. That's like my favorite video game ever. I'd love to be at one of those machines right now.
Okay.
I love playing that game.
I got it all wrong. You're going to where now? Wrestle.
Right. I will not be at WrestleMania, nor will I be at WrestleFest. Those would be two fine places to be. I will be at WrestleCon at the Meadowlands Expo Convention Center, whatever the heck it's called, with the Chikara Gang. Please come and see us. I think very, very few tickets remain, although they've assured us that after that it will go to standing room only. We'd love to see you there, as with the whole Chikara Gang. We are it's an afternoon event. If you're coming in the evening, you'll miss us. It's a 4 p.m. start on Saturday, and we would love to see you there. And, of course, we'll all be floating around. There's tons of fascinating characters and whatnot at WrestleCon. So if you're not going to the Hall of Fame inductions, which are on Saturday, drop by and see us.
Yeah, do that. Okay, follow us on Twitter as well. I'm Natalie Morris. He's Mike Quackenbush. Have a really great week, everyone. We'll see you next week for episode 101 of The Trending Show.
Bye now.